Good morning, church. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you, we glorify you, we thank you, Sovereign of the universe, for your love, your mercy, your grace. We thank you especially for Jesus Christ and him crucified, in whom you have fulfilled your plan of salvation for a lost world. Father, we ask as we partake of your word today that you would allow us to have ears and hearts and minds opened up to the truths that you have specifically for us today. That it would empower us, Father, that it would cause us to go forth and be imitators of Christ in thought, word, and deed. We love you, we praise you, and it's in the blessed name of Jesus the Christ we pray. The gospel. And I pray tell, what is the gospel? In a word, the gospel is the good news of salvation. It's salvation from the wrath of God due to man's sin. Salvation is made possible through the death of Jesus Christ. Therefore, pertaining, as Paul himself summarized it, to the death of Christ according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to scriptures. We can find this as well in Isaiah 53, verses 8, 9, and 10. 700 years before our Savior was born. My brothers and sisters, I would like us to see exactly what the Bible reveals to us in regards to the gospel of Christ. There are three facts, I believe, that can be gleaned from the Bible. By extension, this gospel of Christ is a sum total of the divine relations and the revelations that are in sacred scriptures. That is the Bible. These three essentials, I think we can glean out of it. They are facts to be believed, commandments to be obeyed, promises to be accepted. It is the gospel which we must receive. Acts 17:11. This is Paul commenting on the Bereans after he had taught them. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, Paul is saying, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Number two, it is a gospel which must be believed, as stated in Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It is a gospel that must be obeyed, dear brothers and sisters. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. Dealing out retributions to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These plainly documented characteristics of the gospel should be kept in our minds at all times, recognizing the great price that has been paid, recognizing the fact that Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price for us, that we would not suffer the wrath of God. For it is not by faith only, as is ascertained from the previous scriptures. The world, flesh, Satan, these powers must be overcome in salvation. Nothing but God's power can do this, but the gospel does it. hence the propriety of calling it God's power for salvation. It is his power because it proceeds from him, because it is ordained to that effect. Whatever power is needed to save sinful people, all of that power is available in the gospel. Let the gospel be preached, as Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16:16. My brothers and sisters, I believe this is of uttermost importance. You know, as light will come into a room and dispel all the darkness, that is the nature of God. If we are not clothed in Jesus, his glory, his manifestation will come in and just destroy us utterly. That's why we need to have Christ on. We need to get into Christ primarily, and then after that, we must put on Christ and keep Christ until the last day. Let us look into scriptures and see how we are able to attain that as Christians. First and foremost, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved, I believe, is the most important question anyone can ever ask. When Jesus Christ judges all who have ever lived, he will divide the saved from the unsaved. The saved will go into eternal life and bliss and glory. The unsaved will go to eternal punishment, a place for Satan, a place prepared for him and his demons, a place that is utterly horrific, not even prepared for man, but specifically for the angels of Satan. This is why it is imperative we be on the right side of that dividing line before that day arrives. 2 Corinthians 2:6-2. I tell you now, this is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. The Bible teaches, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So everyone is in need of salvation. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ and through no one else. And salvation is found in no one else. For Acts 4:12 states clearly, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. 1 Timothy 2:15, for there is one God, one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters, dear friends, Jesus is our only way to God. Jesus is our only way to be covered so that we do not experience God's wrath on that last day. So everyone is in need of salvation. All of us. And we need to stay in salvation. But when we first come into Christ, what must we do to be saved? First and foremost, the Bible teaches that we must hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Romans 10:14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? This listening and hearing the Bible develops faith. It develops in us the ability to realize that Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, came to the earth, fulfilled 353 Bible prophecies. The odds mathematically that one person would fulfill 8 is astronomical. 353 is beyond human comprehension. Jesus is the Christ. That would lead us to believing. John 8:24, Jesus said, I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the Christ, the Son of God. You will indeed die in your sins. If we do not believe in Christ, if we do not hear the gospel, if we do not believe it, we will die in our sins. Jesus, the Son of God, has stated unequivocally, and he cannot lie. Believing will lead us to repenting of our sins, godly sorrow. We'll be sorry for our sins, sorry that it caused Jesus Christ to have to die a horrific death on our part. Acts 2:38. Truly I tell you, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That will lead us to confess faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. Be baptized will be the next step that confessing faith in Jesus will lead us to. Peter 3:21. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clean conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is what is necessary. We must go into the water. That's where God does this miraculous work on us. He takes sin out of us. He baptizes us into Christ. He allows the Holy Spirit to indwell in us. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We are into the family of God, adopted, and then, brothers and sisters, we become a Christian. 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We become a new creation in Christ Jesus. That leads us to the next step, which is to remain faithful. We must remain faithful for the rest of our lives and carry our cross. My brothers and sisters, dear friends, when Jesus said this, carry the cross, that was not just some wooden cross you carried on your back or some symbol that we carried. That was actually an act of death. People were dying. Jesus died on the cross. The most horrific way to die at that time, the most excruciating. As a matter of fact, some words, crucifixion, excruciating, comes from that, was created just from that word. But we must remain faithful for the rest of our lives. And how do we do this? Matthew 24:13. But the one who stands faithful and firm to the end will be saved. John 8:31. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. My brothers and sisters, dear friends, that is the next step on our Christian journey. Once we are saved, baptized into Christ, then we must become disciples. We must commit our life to Jesus Christ totally and completely. We cannot just be half-stepping with Jesus. We cannot do that. If we say we are Christians, then we must live a life that is dedicated to Him fully, whole, body, soul, and mind. Not just word, but we must be doers of the word. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Am I a disciple of Jesus Christ? Dear ones, I'm asking you today, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Well, let us see what it takes to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's not just talking. It's not just saying I'm a Christian. It's a lifestyle, a conversion dedicated totally and completely to Him. Matthew 28:18-22. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always till the end. Jesus is with us through this whole journey. We do not have to take it alone. All we have to do is observe all the things He has commanded, and He will give us the power as we study, as we read, as we meditate, as we apply His word. He will give us the power to be able to fulfill this short time that we have to be dedicated to God. It might be 40 years, it might be 50, 60, 120, but it is such a short time in comparison to eternity, you can't even make a logical comparison. They are so far apart. My brothers, my sisters, please, dear friends of Christ, dear friends, I pray that you hear the words of the scripture and that they find a place in your heart and that they motivate us as well, me especially, to go and fulfill the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. To make disciples is the goal of evangelizing the world for Christ. Are you a disciple? Am I a disciple? Are we disciples of Jesus? Perhaps we say we believe in Jesus. John 2:19. In the vernacular of today, you believe that there is one God? Good, a bravo for you. For even the demons believe and they tremble in horror. If we was to get a glimpse of heaven, I do know that we would be scared to death. And that would motivate us, I believe, in such a way that we would have such reverence and fear for God. We would be so afraid of committing any kind of sins simply because of the fact of that place where those that do not stay dedicated till the end to God, to Jesus Christ, will not see eternal life. We might even be one of those who attends church's services regularly, like we might be here every Sunday and every Sunday night and even on Wednesday. But is that really what it means to be his disciple? The purpose in this study is to make clear what is involved in being a true disciple of Jesus. Let's start with this, the definition of discipleship. The word disciple literally means a learner. It denotes one who follows another's teaching. A disciple was not only a learner, he was an advent adherent to the teachings of Jesus. For this reason, disciples are spoken of as imitators of their teachers. Ephesians 5:1-2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love just as Christ loved you and gave himself for you. The goal of discipleship, my brothers, sisters, dear friends, is stated by Jesus himself. We must be like our teacher, Jesus, the greatest teacher that ever walked God's green earth. Luke 6:40. The student is not to be above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. We must be like Jesus, disciples. We must strive to be like him. That is a disciple. This coincides with God's goal in the redemption of mankind, that he conformed to the image of his son. That is what we must be, conformed to the image of his son. Romans 8:28. For those God foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. Are we trying to follow Jesus and become like him? Unless we do, it cannot be said that we are his disciples. Jesus gave us some identifying marks which will help us further identify a true disciple. Let us look at the marks of a disciple. A person that is a disciple, the words of Jesus must abide in him. John 8:31. And to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. This would imply being a diligent student of the teachings of Christ. Cover to cover, daily, we must meet with Jesus every day in that book. That is food for our sustenance, our soul. That is what will empower us to be able to resist Satan, because we'll hide the word in our heart as Jesus did. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God wants us to be able to handle his word so that we can resist temptations, we can resist Satan, that we can take the fight to where God wants us to take the fight, that we can be ready to give an answer to everybody, man, woman, and child, for the hope that is in us. With meekness, of course, and with love, and with respect, with the attitude of Jesus. No one loved like Jesus. Let us be imitators of Jesus, dear ones. It also requires one to be a hearer. Excuse me, not just a hearer, but we must be doers of God's word. It can't just be reading it. We can't just be studying it. We must do as the word says. James 1:22-25. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, and forgets what manner of person he is. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, into Jesus, into the Bible, into the word of God, and continues, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this person shall be blessed. Matthew 7:21-27. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Jesus said, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. Problems came, temptations came, circumstances fell apart, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation upon the rock of Jesus, the Petra, the immovable rock. If we, brothers and sisters, put our faith upon the rock of Jesus, no circumstance will ever bring us down. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who put his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Brothers and sisters, let us build our house upon the foundation of God, upon the foundation of the Word. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is the least that we can do. Jesus gave up glory. He sacrificed everything. He became a man for us, to save us from the wrath of God, and took it all upon himself. The least we can do is live this short time for Jesus. Let us look at some other marks of discipleship. A disciple will love his brothers and sisters. Galatians 3:28. Neither is there Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, neither is there male or female, for we are all one in Jesus. There is neither white, black, red, or brown. We are all one in Jesus. There is no boundaries between us. We have been bought into Christ. We are closer than even our own kin because of the precious blood that covers us. Consider what Jesus said to his followers, dear brothers and sisters, dear ones of Christ. John 13:34-35. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this everyone will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. A disciple's love is patterned after the love of Jesus. As I have loved you, Jesus says. A disciple's love must be visible to the world. By this all will know, Jesus says, that we are his disciples. A disciple must bear fruit. Let us read what Jesus told his disciples, John 15:8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. He wants us to go forth, brothers and sisters, to bear 30, 60, and 100 fruit for the kingdom of God. The rewards are unimaginable. We cannot even imagine. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him, dear ones. Jesus is not talking about an occasional good deed when it comes to serving him and becoming his disciple, but a lifestyle which prompts people to glorify God. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. 1 Peter 2:12. Having your conversation among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Dear brothers and sisters of Christ, here is our challenge. Here is our inspiration. It is by our love and works that we commend Christianity to an unsaved world. Let Jesus' light, brothers and sisters, let it shine out of us so that the whole world can see. Just as when we're in a dark world, a dark room, we turn on the light dispels every bit of darkness. That's what God wants us to do. Go into a room, turn on the light, and it dispels all darkness. failure to bear much fruit will result in being severed from Christ. This is the warning, brothers and sisters. I want you all to understand 75% of the New Testament teachings of Christ had to do with eternal damnation, where we're going to go. He wanted us to get it. He wanted us to know that if we're not in Christ, when God reveals His glory, everything that is not in Christ will burn up in fervent heat. It will be gone. It will dissipate. We cannot stand in the presence of God without the covering of Jesus. Let us look exactly, my brothers, what it is to be a disciple of Jesus. This is not just a casual church member. It requires commitment, especially in regards to the teachings of Christ. They are number one. The teachings instruct us, guide us, show us how to resist temptation, how to know the difference between right and wrong, how to love one another, how to love God. All the quests in life are answered in the book of life, the Bible, the Bible. We must love our brothers and sisters. We must bear fruit. The commitment involved is seen further when we consider the cost of discipleship. Is the cost of being a disciple worth it? I say to you, brothers and sisters, yes, a million times yes. Jesus must come first, made strikingly clear by Jesus himself in Luke 14, 25 to 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, even his own life, also he cannot be my disciple. When Jesus is saying hate in this word, it should really be translated that we should love him, Jesus, above everybody, and no one should even compare to that love. And the love that we will have, if we give it first to Jesus, put him first, it will overflow out of us so much that we will love those around us in a way and with a passion that we have never loved them before. We must love Christ before anything else, including members of our own family. Matthew 10, 34 to 37. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I am come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Brothers, sisters, dear friends, we must grasp hold of God's word. Let it fall deep into our hearts and the recesses of our consciousness. We must love him more than anything else. Philippians 2:7, Jesus made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a slave, being made in human likeness. He gave everything up for us. He left glory that we can't even comprehend to become a man, to die and face God's wrath and take it all upon himself. Jesus must come first, before even our own self. Luke 9:23-25, and Jesus said to all of them, if any man will come to me, let him deny himself and take his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever loses his life for my sake, the same shall save it. To be a disciple, we must be willing to suffer for Jesus. Brothers and sisters, there's people all over the world, in China, that are laying down their life, in Korea, in Afghanistan, the Middle East. We've all seen this. They're dying left and right. Here in America, we have not suffered any type of persecution. If we cannot serve him now, where there's no persecution, it will be incredibly difficult to serve him afterwards. Taking up our cross to follow him, Luke 14, 27, Jesus said, take up my cross. Come after me. He that doesn't cannot be my disciple. Trying to live godly lives in an ungodly world, we may find that following Christ sometimes involves ridicule and persecution, not compared to anything that the rest of the world is experiencing, brothers and sisters. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Romans 8:18, yet What we suffer now is nothing to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in Jesus Christ in us later. Even if we are blessed to escape persecution that most of the world is going through, we must still be willing to expend time and energy in promoting the cause of Christ in positive ways. So many ways we can help the gospel. If you're not healthy enough, God will allow you the means. If you're not able to get around, if you are lacking in so many areas, God will provide the way through Christ Jesus. Forsaking all to follow Jesus. Having counted the cost, let us look at Luke 14:28-33. Suppose one of you wants to build a house or a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you and say, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. There is a great cost, brothers and sisters. We must sever earthly ties, mortify the lust, and be heavenly minded. We must subject everything to the Master. In no other words, Jesus must be King and Lord and Master of our lives. Nothing can take precedence over Him and His will for us. This is the cost of discipleship required by Jesus. This caused many people to turn from following Him in His day. But Jesus wasn't trying to attract large crowds. He wanted true disciples that would be saved from the wrath of God. Is the cost worth it, dear brothers and sisters? Dear friends, yes, a million times yes. The rewards of discipleship. Psalms 139. How precious also are your thoughts unto me, O Lord. How great the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. Let us look at the blessings, future blessings we have. If we just become disciples, if we just become saved, become baptized into Christ, we shall be saved from the wrath of God, which is to come. Acts 17:31. Because He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man, Jesus, whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that day that He has raised Him from the dead. Romans 5:9. Paul speaking, since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him, Jesus our Lord and Savior? We can look forward to joyful anticipations of eternity with God, free from sorrow, pain, and death. Revelations 21:1-8. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard the loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or praying, for the old order of things has passed away. Hosea 2:16 says, in that day declares Yahweh, God Almighty, Sovereign of the universe, you will call me husband and no longer master. What a glorious end we have, brothers and sisters, with the eternal God of creation. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and we will be His children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Yes, the cost is great, but the rewards are infinite. 1 Corinthians 2:9, it has to be read again. It is written, neither has eye seen, nor has ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for all those that love Him. Brothers and sisters, dear ones, We have present blessings even, not just future, not past, we can count them. They number more than the sands of the sea, but we even have present blessings in the immediate. Jesus offers peace the world cannot give to calm the troubled heart. John 14:27. Peace I leave you with, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled neither. Let it not be afraid. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will keep your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus. His words inspire us. They are able to lift our spirits out of any depression that we may ever befall. His word is comfort to us, brothers, dear saints. John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be filled in you, that your joy might be filled. Jesus offers to those who follow him the abiding love of God, which casts out fear. John 15:9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. The last point, brothers and sisters, he makes it possible for us to be members of the family of God. No higher honor. It wouldn't matter if you was related to a president, to a minister, to a king, to an emperor. Nothing compares. There is a chasm between God, Jesus, and any other person that spreads to infinity. Mark 10:28-30. Then Peter began to say unto Jesus, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. There is nothing worth our soul, dear ones. Jesus paid an infinite price. He paid the most beautiful. He acted the most beautiful part in the love he showed for us. And he suffered the most horrific act that has ever been put upon any human being, any person ever. He has paid the ultimate price with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. There are many other blessings I could go and mention that are enjoyed by disciples of Jesus. But I believe these will suffice to demonstrate that discipleship is costly. Sure enough, it is costly, but it doesn't even measure to the rewards that we have if we surrender to Jesus. Now that we understand the nature of discipleship, its cost is minimal, its rewards are infinite. It is my prayer, my yearning, that we would become like disciples of Jesus, become like him, imitators like Jesus. How does one begin? For that answer, we must return to our text. Go ye, therefore, into all the world, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, baptizing each, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Dear brothers and sisters, if any of you need the prayers of Jesus Christ, if you need the prayers of the family of God, please come forth. If any of you wants to make this commitment to Jesus Christ, come into the family of God, become a disciple of Jesus Christ, then please come forward as we sing our invitational song. Thank you very much.